Get Up with Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7. Got to put my
hands up in here. Ned?
Yeah.
Something pretty exciting is coming to Canberra.
Something very exciting is coming to Canberra.
When I say coming to Canberra, it's already here. I'm sorry. I don't know why I'm speaking in, you know, future tense. It's here.
Well, you don't want to freak anyone out. If you say it's coming to Canberra, people can look into it and go, oh my goodness, it's already here. They get that excitement. We've lost that now, but that's, I see what you're going for.
And trialing it, now it's here, air bikes.
Air bikes.
If you've been to a capital city, Melbourne, Sydney, the Gold Coast, anywhere like that over the last little while, you will know what this concept is. So basically, it's the concept of a shared bicycle, and it's called like dockless. So you don't have to take them back to a rank.
Yeah.
What you do is you just sort of check in on your app. You go, I'm using this bike. It's sort of, whoop, whoop, whoop. I don't know, 100% understand how it works.
Not like that.
But then you get on the bike, you go, you leave it wherever you need to leave it. And then the idea is somebody else will go, oh, good, because they've all got GPSs in them. Someone will go, oh, there's one near me. I'll walk over there where that person left it, grab that one and go for the ride I need to go on.
If you rode a bike from like Braddon through to like Franklin, then you could leave your bike in Franklin. Hopefully someone in Franklin. That's a huge ride. And then hopefully someone in Franklin sees it and goes, oh, cool, I need to go out to like Crace. And then they take it to Crace.
Why is somebody taking a bike to these locations?
Well, because you've got to ride everywhere around the city.
I think somebody who's doing that much riding has their own bike, to be honest.
I need to go to the Tour de France. I'm just going to take this one to France. I'll bring it back.
I think there's something like 100 of them in Canberra. There could be up to 200 by the end of the year. There have been... Look, issues in other cities with people taking these bikes, not treating them well.
Yeah.
But I'm sort of, as I sort of said a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about these bikes, Canberra, let's rise above. Let's treat these bikes well.
We've been given a gift.
Let's be the city that looks after these bikes because it'll set us apart from all the other cities that have had cracks at having these shared bicycle sort of setups.
Exactly.
My thing, though, is a lot of these apparently are going to be hanging around Civic.
Well, of course, people are going to work. People want to get around quickly, of course.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Nah.
What do you mean, nah?
Saturday night.
Oh, okay.
Can you ride them at night? I mean, I know they've got like a GPS and they unlock and all that. Can you actually ride them at night? Because I feel like on a Saturday night, not only will people be trying to go home on these bikes, I think they'll be trying to do tricks.
Yeah. They're not stunt bikes. They're not BMXs.
And that's what I'm really worried about. In my mission for us to look after these bikes as a city, I think the more of them that are in Civic on a Saturday night, the more nervous I am about how well we look after these bikes.
I feel like there's got to be something on the app that goes... From like 7 p.m. onwards on a Saturday, go
no bikes
until like midday Sunday, no bikes.
I'd go as far as to say, you know, those trolley collection, you know, trailers you see at shopping centers.
Yeah.
We need a bike collection, one of them every Friday night at 8 p.m. We just take them and we bring them back Sunday at like 5 p.m. Yeah. I think that's what needs to happen for us to be able to look after these bikes.
That's a big night if you stay here until 5 p.m. the next night.
You know what? No, I'm not even going to say that. Oh, that's a big night. That's your brain that's done that.
Well,
I meant take them away for the weekend.
Right.
You really are on board with the concept of going from Sunday and Friday until Sunday.
Well, sometimes if you're just having a fantastic night, what's the point of going home? Just go and have some breakfast.
I don't know. The venue closing is the point of going home. God, you worry me. I'm not gonna lie, you worry me.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. The best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Josh, every Wednesday we do something that I love doing. It's called the Wednesday Work File, where we chat to someone from Canberra or surrounding areas that has an incredibly interesting job.
And this week, it is National Science Week. With that in mind, we have invited a scientist into the studio to have a bit of a chat to us about their very interesting job. This guy...
Yep.
He investigates bushfires, can predict them, can map them, can track them using maths.
That's right. He's a mathematician who has focused his skills onto bushfires.
It's time for us to catch up with, in honour of National Science Week, Associate Professor Jason Staples.
Lifting the lid on the most fascinating jobs from around the region.
It's amazing.
It's Ned and Josh's Wednesday Work File.
Morning, Jason.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Not too bad.
Great, thanks, mate.
Yeah, so you specialise in a particular kind of maths, don't you, Jace?
Yeah, well, I guess the sort of maths I do is really all around trying to understand bushfires.
Mm. Yeah.
It's, trying to understand how the weather and the terrain and the fuels and the fire all interact with each other.
Mm.
And basically, I'm trying to figure out what makes small fires turn into big ones.
So what have you sort of found and using, how do you use maths to find what you've discovered so far?
Well, there's a whole bunch of equations, mathematical equations, which tell you what the weather's going to do. There's a whole bunch of mathematical equations that tell you what the fire's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I put those together, throw them all at a supercomputer, And that tells us what the two things together are going to do.
Yeah, all right, fantastic. Yeah.
So I've always wanted this with bushfires because I've, you know, never had a fire get out of control on me. But you always look and you go, geez, I think it would be pretty easy to have that happen. How does it go from being a small fire to being something that's just out of control?
Well, I mean, hot, dry and windy to begin with is a necessary thing. But the things we've really been concentrating on is trying to understand how weather, terrain and the fire interact with each other. And so when these three things interact with each other, they can actually do some really weird things, like it can send the fire sideways across the wind. And when you get these sorts of things going on, you get lots of embers brewing up and the whole thing basically becomes what we call a coupled fire atmosphere event. Mm-hmm. So no longer just a fire burning along the ground.
Yeah.
This is really just like a storm, okay? So the term firestorm is really what we're talking about here.
Well, what made you so interested in like finding out more about these bushfires?
Well, I was a volunteer firefighter.
ACT RFS.
So I had my mathematical training. I was a firefighter, and then the opportunity came up to combine the two. So I took that opportunity.
Yeah, fantastic.
It seems like obviously there are equations and all that sort of stuff. How long has maths been used to fight fires in Australia? Like, is this a relatively new thing, or is this?
Yeah, well, in Australia, it goes back to the 50s and 60s with people like Alan MacArthur, who worked, did a lot of experimental burns over on Black Mountain, sort of using those burns to come up with equations to describe the way fires are, could be expected to behave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time. I guess what we're doing different now is the level of sophistication of the mathematics involved.
Yeah.
So, the old sort of models that were developed in the 50s and 60s, you could do with a little simple slide rule in your hand.
Mm.
Now we're talking about supercomputers and, crunching big numbers.
Yeah.
I was one of those kids that used to like looking at the fire at home when I was a kid. And so I think if my teacher had told me maths and fire could work together, would have paid more attention to maths. This is awesome.
With the bushfire season being moved forward a month, did you see something in your research that went, oh, this is really bad? Because obviously it being pushed forward a month is not good news for anyone.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess it's the dryness of the conditions around the moment. Basically, for vegetation to burn, you've got to drive all the moisture out of it to begin with before it catches fire. Mm. So, pretty much the whole landscape's primed for more fire.
Okay.
And if you were to give tips to anyone in trying to protect themselves against a bushfire, what would be some things that are maybe the things that people wouldn't think of immediately that you could give someone a tip for?
Well, I guess, what our research has really highlighted is that not all fires are the same. People still think, when they picture a fire, they're thinking of like a flame front coming at them, unburnt stuff ahead of the fire, burnt stuff behind it, and this nice sort of well-behaved, orderly front of fire. What we had in Canberra was completely different to that. There was no real fire front. It came through as an ember storm. So understanding that, when you're confronted with an ember storm, it's a completely different thing to being confronted with a normal surface fire.
Yeah.
And the measures you need to take are going to be different according to that. So if you're confronted with a firestorm, leaving early is probably the best option these days.
Right. Okay, cool.
Well, Chase, thank you so much for having a chat to us this morning.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
3, 2, 1, action.
Ned and Josh's biggest little movie ever. Ever.
That is right. We are talking about a movie that we are going to be making together as a city. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, how is that possible? Well, first thing, it's only going to be about 10, 15 minutes long. So there you go. It's a short film.
Well, that's it. We were like, we should make a 90-minute movie, and then we realised how very long it takes to actually film a movie like that.
The second thing...
15 minutes.
The second thing, we've worked out that we can get everybody involved with the creative process using a new invention that we've titled the Wheel of Creativity.
Yep. There you go.
How that's going to work. Yeah. And what we do is we basically ask for something that we need filled, a void that we need filled in the movie. We divide the Wheel of Creativity into 5 blank slots. We take the calls from you. We put all of them up on the wheel. We spin it. Whichever one it suggests is what makes it into the movie. We did it with stunts yesterday. Whole bunch of stunts suggested. We ended up with car chase today.
Yep.
Locations.
The great thing about the Wheel of Creativity is not only does it it makes us not have to think of anything creative, but it also gets rid of all responsibility if your item doesn't get chosen by us.
It's not our fault. It's the wheel. Whatever the wheel spews out is what we have to put in the movie. Nicole is on the line from Everett. How are you, Nicole?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Great,
thank you.
Thank you,
now,
Nicole.
What location would you like to put up on the Wheel of Creativity?
So in Milconnon, there's the owl statue that looks like something else.
Yes, well, an owl. We all know it by another name.
Right.
Let's just say the Richard Owl. It's there
the
right
Richard
now.
Richard Owl. I thought you said the Rigid Owl. And I'm like, well, either
works. That works as well, yeah.
I'm going to write. All right, we'll put Belconnen Owl.
Phallic Owl.
Yeah, okay, put that there. Wait. Thank you very much for the call, Lauren.
There we go.
We've got Paige. Paige on the line right now from Canberra. How are you, Paige?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank
you. Thank you.
What would you like to suggest as a location?
Kid City.
All right, then.
All right, wait.
Put that up there on the board.
Kid City. There we go. It's on there.
He's on the wheel of creativity. James is on the line from Yarralumla. James, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good, thanks.
No, great to hear, mate. What suggestion for you this morning would you like to put up on the wheel of creativity?
The National Arboretum.
The Arboretum.
Arboretum.
Yep.
Very good pick,
picturesque
James.
Location. Whack that up on the wheel of creativity.
I don't know how to spell Arboretum, but I'm just going to write a word
tree
that
place.
I'm going to know.
Yep,
the tree museum.
Lauren on the line from Banks. Lauren, what's going on?
Hey, good yourself?
No, not too
great,
bad.
Thank you,
what
Lauren.
What location would you like to put on the wheel of creativity, Lauren?
The Cotter Dam.
Cotter Dam.
Why?
Cotter.
Because you got all those windy roads and you got that, and you have to do your...
Are you thinking maybe like a drone shot looking over the dam, something like that?
I don't think I've ever been out to the Cotter Dam, but I'm excited nonetheless.
Neither have I. Yeah. It's like, why? Lauren, thank you very much for the call. We've got Nina on the line from Yass. Nina, what do you think?
It's the last spot.
100% the Pride Roundabout in Braddon.
Oh, the Brilliant. Rainbow Roundabout.
The Rainbow Roundabout.
Yes,
love it.
I love that. Fantastic.
Roundabout.
That is a great suggestion, Braddon. Nina. Thank you very much for the call this morning.
Everything's full. We've got all five.
Is that actually all of them?
That's all of them.
All right.
We've got all five. I'm going to put it back to number one, make it nice and neutral.
It's up to what the wheel of creativity has to dish out this morning. What we got? We got
Cotter
Dam.
The Cotter Dam, the Arboretum. We've got the
Owl.
The Owl. Of course, the Owl. Kid City. And
Rainbow Roundabout, Kid City.
And the Arboretum.
Yep.
You say that?
Yep, the tree place. That's
okay, the tree,
there.
Yeah. The tree place. All right.
Give it a big spin this morning.
Out of 10, how far do you want it?
Yeah, 10. Give us a spin that's 10.
Okay, I don't want the thing to fall over. Ready?
Here we go. Oh, that is the biggest spin so far on the wheel of creativity.
Okay, here we go.
Wait a minute, it's slowing.
Ooh, tree place. It's the Cotter Dam. The place you and I have never been.
I don't even know whether I'm supposed to be excited about that. I don't know.
I'm just worried about what they'll get us to do out of the Cotter Dam because it's a dam.
I don't. Okay, it's in the movie. I mean, that's how the wheel of creativity works.
Yeah.
We got car chase yesterday, which is pretty cool. And today we've got Cotter Dam, which I'm.
I have no idea what goes on
the
Cotter Dam.
I don't know whether I'm supposed to be excited. The Beast Little Movie will continue tomorrow.
104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
The Bachelor is returning to television screens tonight. Tonight is the night.
Yep.
Nick Honeybadger Cummins is going to have a cast of ladies to possibly find his true loved one, including two ladies from Canberra who are going to be on The Bachelor this year.
That's right. It's very, very exciting. We've got a couple of ACT girls representing us. But the man behind the scenes, the one pulling all the strings, is none other than Osher Gunsberg.
Australian television icon, Osher Gunsberg.
The most fantastic hair in Australia.
He is ready to host the living daylights out of this show,
of course.
He does each and every year. And he's been kind enough to join us on the phone this morning. Good morning, Osher.
Oh, very good morning, gentlemen. How do you do today?
Not too bad.
How are you?
Thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. But hang on, you look the same from here. Which one's Ned?
Yeah, so
this freaked me out.
You saying that you can see us actually has me on edge right now because you are the host of a reality show. Yeah. I don't know where cameras are.
Maybe
I don't know what's
going
on. It's got me on air, Josh. Mate, this is so exciting, The Bachelor being back tonight. How, in your opinion, I know you can't reveal too much, how is this season different to other seasons that everyone's loved so much?
This year, the sixth version of The Bachelor that we've done is different, mainly because we've got the Honey Badger doing it, a man that we've all seen face down a haka in front of Mount Site Stadium, then get tackled by a mighty All Black. We actually watch him get nervous, watch him giggle, we watch him kind of get a bit coy, we watch him blush.
Mm.
But then we also, I think, you know, I've just watched the first episode last night, we let the leash off. We show so much more of the ladies, how shall we say,
disagreeing.
Than
we've ever shown before.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
No, look, I love getting invested in everybody in the show. Yeah. And so, yeah, I love to hear that, Osh. That's exactly what I want to hear.
I feel like Bachelor in Paradise was everyone like dipping the toe in, like, what happens if we just let everyone go? Yeah. And so maybe this season it's just like, here you go, guys. Enjoy.
Fantastic. Great news.
I think you're absolutely right. We had a really great time doing Bachelor in Paradise. Excited about going to do it again. But yeah, tonight it is really, really interesting. I will say one thing for Nick Cummins. Like, I've watched, he's a six man, I've watched come down and do this, right? And sometimes some of the ladies who walk down, they're maybe a little bit eccentric, the kind of ladies that these guys have never, ever met before. You know, people turn up with dubs and poems and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Nick, no matter how eccentric, no matter how odd, oh, really? You're, okay, great. You're a Reiki healer. Brilliant. He gives them absolutely 100% the time of the day, 100% with them. He's engaged. He's locked in. And I think a lot of guys can learn a lot about what it is to meet someone for the first time and just, like, get past the first few minutes of, I guess, shall we say, judgment, and then just, like, get to the real person.
Oh, that's nice.
Really fast. He's very good at it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really good. Yeah.
Really nice compliment. Now, here's the question, though. Speaking of nice compliments, you've seen Tim, you've seen Matty J. Is Nick the best, most buff-built bachelor you've actually seen on the show?
He's the most enormous.
Yeah, right.
None of them bigger than... I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I'm not talking out of school here. We've all seen the slow-motion footage of the intro sequence.
Yeah, of course.
Not every bachelor has done leg day, boys.
Yeah.
Nick Cummins, I swear to God, this is a bit of insight. Nobody knows this. Nobody knows this, Josh. We actually, at some points, we had to get two separate pairs of pants tailored for him, all right?
Is that real? Is that actually true?
No, I promise you 100%. Because what would happen is if during the week when Nick did his back squats and all his squats, did his leg workout, his muscles would just get so big that he would no longer fit the trousers that we had tailored for him. So we had to get him a second set of trousers that he could wear after leg day.
And there it is. Ladies and gentlemen, The Bachelor starts tonight.
Got a couple of trunks on him.
Mate, oh, that is very, very... I mean, that's a selling point. That in itself.
Busting out of the suit.
Not just the ladies of Australia, but the guys too. Yeah. Learn a few leg day tips from Nick Cummins on The Bachelor.
Well, Osha, Josh and I were talking about a bit earlier in the week. This is going to be funny because during The Bachelor, obviously a lot of competitions, a lot of challenges they do. Nick Cummins is an athlete. He's a sporting athlete. I don't know if you can tell us, but are there any like rugby themed games that he just excels at?
I think we managed to work a bit of his physical ability into just about every challenge that
fantastic
we
did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, you don't waste something like that.
Yeah.
Got the girls all set up to do like that thong throwing competition that was part of last year's Bachelor, and before everything, Nick just goes, "Let me show you how it's done, guys." All right, here we go. So he's just he's
chucked like a PE, on the headband.
Basically like a PE teacher, I think. Yeah.
He's got the mustache.
Yeah. Osho, we are so excited, mate. Thank you so much for having a chat to us this morning. We know you're extremely busy. We cannot wait for The Bachelor to return to our screens.
Don't skip leg day, boys.
Yeah.
I don't go to the gym. I skip every day.
Every single day.
Hit 104.7, Ned and Josh. The best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Okay. So, catch everyone up to speed. I don't want to drag on about it because, honestly, we talk about it every second day, but I crashed my car into a pillar underneath where I live yesterday.
You know
what's
troubling, though? We do talk about it every second day, and it's not the same crash.
No, like, it's always a different crash.
You crash your car into something else every second day.
And usually, every time I've come to the show, it's been because I've scraped the side of my car, and it's just a scratch, and I'm like, oh, who cares? Yesterday, oh no, a couple of days ago, I overshot it a little bit and actually went straight into the pillar and cracked the front part of my car.
Yeah, it's busted.
It's busted. It's completely busted. And so I went, damn it. And it's to the point where I'm like, I actually probably do need to get this fixed. It's also buckled the side of my car, so like I can't open my door all the way open. Mm. I was like, this probably needs to get seen to relatively soon.
Did you actually go and do that?
I went and got it fixed. Well, I attempted to. It's
well,
not fixed.
Makes me so happy because that was my advice. Because you can't open your door fully at the moment. Yeah. And I said, you know what, you need to go and get that looked at. So you actually did something I told you to do with your car.
I did because... Well,
that's a pretty exciting moment in of itself right there.
I don't know anything about cars. What you said rung true. The front of it's plastic. They can fix that easily. But the side part, the part that's like a little bit buckled, is metal. And hopefully they can salvage that and it won't cost that much money. I've had my car fixed before. And so I was like, I'll just take it to the same place. It's not a problem whatsoever. Took it there. as I walked into the front door, I realized I know nothing about cars. I don't know what the part names are. I don't know what anything is called. So I went up to the desk. Guy said, hey, what can I help you with? And I said, hey, mate, I've run my car into a pillar. The front part of the car is broken.
Off to a good start, yeah.
And he went, well, like the light? And I went, no, like I don't, it's like, I was like, just come
plastic,
and have a look.
The bumper, yeah.
Just
yeah,
come and
yeah,
have a look.
Fantastic.
And
off to a great start, mate. Yeah.
So I took him out. It was across the street and I showed him. It's all smashed up. And he was like, okay. And then I was like, also the side part is a little buckled. And he goes,
the door.
What part?
Yeah, the door.
And I go, just before this part here. And he's like, okay, cool.
The thing that lets me get in and out of the car.
And he's like, all right, cool. No worries. Brilliant. We don't really do this here.
Is what he said to you?
Was what he said to me here. And I was like, that's weird. And he's like, yeah. So we're Goodyear Tire Care and Auto. We don't usually take care of bodywork.
You took your car to Goodyear to talk about the fact that the side of it was smashed up?
The last time I broke my car was something to do with the wheels. And I just thought, hey, this is all encompassing.
You actually took, not a panel beater, not just another mechanic, but to Goodyear where they do tires.
Yeah,
your tires are fine.
Yeah, the tires were fine.
Your tires are fine.
That's the one part
of the car
that's fine.
Your wheels are fine.
And so he went, look, this is Goodyear tire. And honestly, hats off to this dude because he in no way made me, well, I already felt like an idiot, but he didn't kick me while I was down.
No, they're super polite down there. I've literally been down there before.
This
and
one
I'm
in
not
Dungarland.
The smartest with cars. Yeah. They still are so nice to you.
Exactly.
And but so, yeah, that's, I can't believe he was nice to you. I couldn't resist the urge to call you an idiot.
This is the conversation as it went. All right, I'm down there. And he goes, so we're Goodyear Tire Care and Auto.
Yeah.
Made sure he said tire care. He said
tire.
So he's like, we don't have these parts, unfortunately, mate. And then he went, so do you know what a panel beater is?
Yeah.
And I went, no.
No, clearly I don't.
I've heard of them before.
Yeah.
I was like, kind of. And he goes, take it there, just anyone and ask them if they can fix it. I'm so sorry. We don't fix that here. And then he kind of was like dumbfounded. I think he thought I was playing a prank on him and walked back inside.
When
and I got in my car.
I'm sorry. I can't believe this. I can't believe how stupid. Like literally when I think tires.
Yeah.
Like, when I think tyres, one of the first thing that comes into my brain is Goodyear. I saw the blimp a lot as a kid. I don't know what it is, but I link Goodyear with tyres. How do you not do that?
It's the funny thing is, if you asked me to name a tyre brand, I'd say Goodyear.
Yeah,
that's the only one. I can't think of any other brand of tyre. So, here I am. Still broken car. Tyres are great, though. Don't worry about that.
Tyres are fine. And honestly, they always were. And that's why you shouldn't have gone there.
I don't deserve a car.
I'm taking your license away. I'm taking
good.
Your license
I'll give
away.
It to you right
it's
now.
Safer for everybody.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
And look, I'm going to explain the situation as the person not involved in the scenario.
Sure.
I'll quickly explain it. What happened last night, Ned saw a girl he found quite attractive in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
You guys did the whole classic up and down the aisle, ships passing in the night thing a few times. You smiled at her, she smiled at you. You both went to the same checkout counter. You were thinking, geez, I'd like to give her my number. You didn't because you don't know whether or not that's creepy. I, when you told me about this scenario, thought, well, you actually haven't spoken.
No.
So there's no connection apart from a smile. And look, she's just shopping. Don't hassle her. Yeah, don't give her your number. That's my theory.
She was also in active wear, so it looked like she'd just come from the gym, going to the supermarket.
She doesn't want to be bothered. She's just doing some shopping.
But I want to know.
You haven't said anything to each other. That's the thing.
The thing this morning is, on 131060, I want to know if all up, is this a creepy thing? Not just this scenario, but is this a thing that females just don't really want to be hassled with?
Mm.
Because I feel like if she handed me her number, I'm like, oh, that's fine.
Well, this is the one where we've gone down the rabbit hole a little bit as two guys sitting in this room by ourselves, is it's your number.
I was going to give her my number.
She doesn't want to do anything with it. It's totally the ball's in her court. But even being hassled, is that annoying? Is that weird? That's what we want to know this morning. 131060 is the number to call. We've got Kayla on the line from Gilmore. Kayla, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Not too bad, thank
Kayla.
What do you think about this, Kayla?
I think it's great. Well, you live life, like you've only got one life. Live it to the fullest and live on edge. Like, how else do you start in, like, a relationship or just a hookup or whatever?
I guess that's true. Like, other than Tinder, really,
well, see, that's
and
the
going
thing,
out.
Is our generation becoming and that's exactly what I was about to say, Kayla. Maybe our generation's becoming too reliant on this never happens face-to-face. This happens, like, on social media, or it happens, and then you meet face-to-face.
Exactly.
Because our parents, back in the day, you had to meet everyone face-to-face. That was how my parents met.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had it on the odd occasion where I've given my number to a guy. I'm like, oh, he's a bit attractive, so I've actually given my number to him.
Yeah. I can guarantee you, though, Kayla, I don't think, well, maybe this is dumb on my behalf, but I don't think many guys are going, ugh, another number.
No, every guy I've ever met would be going,
oh, great.
I honestly, I've been handed numbers, I think, probably 3 or 4 times in my entire life. I'm 27.
Yep.
And every time it's happened, I've been like, surely not. This is a mistake. You don't mean me. You don't mean me. Surely not.
In my mind, start walking on sunshine starts playing and I start skipping. Oh, God, I've put myself together today.
I'm just thinking, that can't be for me. You must be, you've got double vision or something. The guy behind me, maybe? I don't know.
That just is probably on you and I, though.
Yeah, I think that's probably also true. Claire is on the line right now from Tuggeranong. How are you, Claire?
I'm good, thank you.
What do you think about this scenario?
I think you guys need to get back to the basics of being human, be vulnerable with another human being and reconnect with the art of conversation and give her your number. How else are you ever going to be able to connect with this person?
And I guess now that I'm like hearing people's opinions and stuff like that, Claire, I'm just kind of thinking in my mind, worst case scenario, she's like, I'm good. Or like, I've got a boyfriend. Or not. Like,
she's like, no.
Well, here's the question, Claire. This is a question for me, because you're right. Being vulnerable is the thing
it's
here.
It's just scary.
And I'm always nervous about, like, rejection and stuff. So here's the thing, right? How does the conversation start in your mind? If you had a guy come up and ask... No, I'm asking Claire.
Okay,
if a guy came up to you and wanted to give you his number, how would you like that conversation to start?
Well, I can tell you from the experience that I've had both spectrums, and it's about the delivery. So... if you go in and are just honest and say, hey, I think that we could have some things in common and I'd like to find out if we do. You know, here's my number.
Right.
Take it if you like. Throw it away if you like.
I really, really like that, Claire. I just don't think that excuse would have worked for me because I'm literally basing everything on this girl's looks and going, I can't really go, hey, I think we'd have a lot in common in that I find you attractive and you are attractive.
Funniest thing is, if you actually listen, I was asking Claire how anybody should go about
exactly,
this.
Exactly, but that's it.
Not how you've got to work out your own system, mate, because she's inactive where you don't go to the gym at all. I don't think you had anything in common with this girl.
I'm perplexed by the gym and you clearly go.
Thank you very much for the call, Claire. Casey's on the line from Bonner. Casey, what do you think?
I think you should have given her your number.
Okay, right then.
And just straight up, Casey, just go, hey, here's my number.
Yeah, just, you know, leave the ball in her court. Give her your number and just, leave it up to her if she contacts you or not. I think it's flattering. You know, as a female, I'd be flattered if someone approached me and, you know, gave me their number. Although I'm married. So.
I was going to say, it's still flattering.
Claire's husband's driving to work. Casey's husband's driving to work this morning going, oh, really? Really, on. Casey? Yeah, right. Okay. Uh-oh. Yeah.
He's right next to me.
That's right.
Well,
next
hello,
to you.
Hello, Casey's husband.
So, do you agree with Claire in that it's all about the delivery?
Yeah.
Yeah. In an instance, I guess. You know, I guess you could say to her, look, I find you attractive. Here's my number. You know, if you want to catch up for a drink or something, you know, it doesn't have to be sinister and doesn't have to be, you know, blunt of...
There doesn't have to be some... Here's the thing, right? Yeah. And this is maybe a guy thing that I'm thinking. There doesn't have to be some cool line or something. It can be just a normal, hello, how are you?
Hey, can I give you my number?
Yeah, exactly. No one likes a cheesy line.
Right, okay.
Well, you know what?
I'm going to try and stop approaching every conversation like the Fonz. I think that's probably not the way to go.
You do hang around jukeboxes a lot. Well, no, you know what? From now on, I'm just going to do it. If I see someone that I find attractive, I'm just going to go, here's my number.
I was going to say, that will mean a lot of numbers handing out.
I do find a lot of people attractive.
That's what I was going to say. So maybe just leave it for people you think you might be having a connection with and then be really polite.
Just
and
the lights go, hey, can I give you... Knock on their window. Hey, here you go.
Yeah, no, that's not going to work. Yeah. So, if you think you're having a connection with someone, there you go.
Just hand it
all
out.
All in the delivery, all in the politeness. I like that. Well, there you go. That's kind of an answer to literally...
And that can be advice for everyone. Just hand it out. Take the step. Take the leap.
There we go, everybody. A little bit of a little bit of opinion searching this morning on Hit 104.7. But Ned, honestly, I think you still made the right move last night because once again, the activewear, you have not set foot in a gym ever in your life.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
We have to address some beef.
There's been an attack on the show. It really has. And in a public forum, no less, which is exactly what this show is. And so get ready for retaliation.
In the ACT Legislative Assembly,
yep.
Which you and I keep a very close eye on.
Of course.
Obviously, we are just political nerds, quite frankly, and we're never missing a session. We were called out yesterday by the member for Brindabella,
mm-hmm.
Mark Parton.
Mark Parton, no
MLA.
Less. Yep.
Shadow Minister for Planning, Shadow Minister for Housing, Shadow Minister for Gaming and Racing.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, throwing some shade.
Yeah.
As only a shadow minister can.
Mm-hmm.
I'm angry. So if you're wondering what happened, there was a little bit of a chat about a charity football match that could be taking place.
Yeah.
For RecLink. They do a lot of good work. And here's what Mark Parton had to say yesterday in, and this is what gets my blood boiling, in the ACT Legislative Assembly, in front of everybody else.
To the speaker. He was directing this.
A listen.
Ned and Josh, I know you're watching. RecLink Community AFL Cup, September 16. My message to Ned and Josh, Madam Speaker, would be, are you men or are you boys? You talk the talk locked up safely in your little studio there with cushions on the walls and the ceilings, but are you man enough to come out and have a kick of the footy for a good cause? I'm counting on you.
The absolute cheek.
The cheek.
The cheek of Mark Parton. How dare he?
I'm appalled.
Also, just to clear it up, because now that there's false rumours going around, this fake news, there's no padding on the roof.
Mm. Actually, granted, yeah, it's a plaster roof.
He got all of the walls correct.
Yeah, the walls have a lot of cushioning.
They're all padded, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And that's for our safety, because we trip over sometimes.
Exactly, so the point, but there's none on the roof, so don't say that. This just gets my goat, it really does.
And you've unfortunately lit a fire, Mark.
Mm.
And that fire is, yes, we will for sure be playing football in September for the RecLink Community Cup.
Unfortunately.
It will be happening!
I mean, fortunately for Mark, unfortunately for us, we're playing on the same side, so...
Ah, well...
We will have to get along.
This is now directed at the other team, I guess. But
don't get me wrong. I'll be mad about playing with you, Mark.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to be happy about it. And quite frankly, if you try to give us some direction, I may not listen.
If you're the coach, you can forget about it. I'll be a rogue. I'll be a maverick. I don't need to listen to you.
I am unhappy with what I've heard from Mark Parton, but I am very happy to be supporting a great cause, and we will play footy. Here's the thing.
Yep.
I'm not 100% sure how to play footy.
No, me neither. I have no idea.
Okay, so, yeah.
And also, unfortunately, we're giving Mark Parton exactly what he wants. We're stuck in a catch-22 because, yes, I want to help RecLink, of course. But at the same time, we've given him exactly what he wanted.
Damn it. Didn't even think about that.
Parton!
Parton!
He's got us again.
Shall we call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
That is the end of this morning's show. We are going to work out if there's any way we can
Him the official enemy of the show?
I think possibly. I mean, there's something we can definitely do.
Absolute enemy of the show.
But having said that, is there some way we can support the charity but still not give Mark what he wants? I don't see how that could happen, so we'll go to the drawing board. That's fine. Hey, Beth's coming up next. She's
really
got plenty of hits and old school for your workday stuff from Panic at the Disco, also Conrad Sewell and Amy Shark all coming up next. We'll speak to you tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. Have a fantastic Wednesday, Canberra. Bye-bye.
Hit
104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.